Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Friends and family in Christ, God bless you. I hope you're having a good day or evening, whenever you're listening or watching our show. We just thank you so much for your prayers and your support. Let me just share this. This is very important, what we're talking about today. It's the same demonic spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to have Pastor David Bowen come in and explain what's going on with the evil and the violence and maybe the apathy in America. And are there any parallels throughout Scripture? How does that play into this as well? So, brother, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. Good to see you.
David, it's always a joy to be with you. You do a great job. I really appreciate the work and ministry that you have.
Oh, well, praise God for you. By the way, I want to give David's website. One of them is interpretingthetimes.com, right? Interpretingthetimes.com. He's right. On Facebook. You can find him on Facebook, plus on YouTube, Interpreting the Times. Subscribe to his channel. And, of course, our friends at Harbingers Daily follow David as well. And he's been pastoring for 30 years, a good man to follow. And, brother, thank you for all that you do. And a lot of things to get into today. When you just put out a recent video, and it's awesome, it's the same demonic spirit. So I'll kind of leave people hanging. That's like a little teaser. But talk about your ministry, what you've been up to recently, and I hear you have a trip to Israel coming up.
Oh, I'm leaving this week. I'm very excited about that. I have a group coming out in a couple of weeks, but I have the privilege, and it really is a privilege, to spend some quiet time and some real time with the IDF over there. There's three units that I kind of spend time with. We've been down in Gaza, we've been in Lebanon, we've been in Syria. And the reason I do this, I want the world to understand what the truth is, because what's happening in those three spots especially, the world does not get the whole picture. So being with the IDF, going into those territories with them, hearing them, being with the soldiers there, you get a firsthand perspective. And then I bring that back and I do videos and explain the truth. And I tell the soldiers over there, I want the world to understand the truth and what's happening in Israel. So it's an amazing time. So I leave this week for my 10 days with them, and then I got a group coming in after that.
Okay, so I want to jump into the topic, but before I do that, it's kind of interesting. I'm over at the Harbingers Daily. I know I could do this on your YouTube channel as well, but I'm looking at just the titles of some of your recent either sermons or podcasts, and you talk about scoffers and mockers, which is prophetic. Peter and others talk about that. You talk about deception. You talk about the NAR, the modern false apostles who crave power. Also, is convenience replacing conviction in the church? Mm. That was topic number two. I thought, okay, one of the two we were going to talk about today, but it is very important to talk about the same demonic spirit, what we're seeing today, because there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same devil, and he's just got different minions, right? People come and go. Human beings that the devil uses because we only live a certain number of years, but Satan's been around for a while. So where do you want to start, David? Well, let me just share this one thing. There's so many articles that we could show as far as the rise of evil and violence. And here's one that recently happened just in the last couple of weeks over in Rhode Island. There's a guy that was, I guess, trying to be a girl, or he had the surgeries or whatever, a woman. And it's called the rise in transgender killers proves that we have a major mental health crisis unfolding. That's over at the New York Post. My question, David, is what about that mental health crisis? What causes that? Because they'll blame it on the Bible because they can't do what they want to do. They can't be who they want to be because they're going against God and his creative order and really science, biology. But this is this new trend now because they're getting so angry. They're taking it out on others by shooting churches or schools, or in this case, it was a family issue at a hockey rink. So just take us into your topic however you want, after just mentioning this.
I don't think it's new. So I think what we're seeing now has been around since the days of Noah, going back to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel, going back there. I know in the New Testament, Ephesians 2 talks about the prince of the power of the air, which again is that demonic influence. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about the God, the small g of this world, blinding the minds of the world, basically. So nothing is new, but what's happening is our rebellion is kicking up. Towards the end times, that's going to get worse. You know, Paul told his spiritual son, Timothy, that was going to happen. I speak at a lot of conferences and I speak across the country. And one of the topics I speak on is the coming 6G and what that's going to do and how people are going to embrace that. And that's going to cause even more chaos around. But when you look back, let's go back to the Tower of Babel. Let's go back to the very beginning, back to Nimrod. Most people don't understand when you go back to Genesis chapter 11, they know it's the Tower of Babel. But we have to understand when they were building the Tower of Babel, if you look at the ESV version, it says that they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. When you get to the NASB or some other parts, it says tar or pitch, you know, for mortar. What is bitumen? What they did basically, they waterproofed the Tower of Babel. People don't understand that. That's how strong the rebellion was. Because what happened? God sent a flood. After the flood, they start to form the nations, and they're building this tower. Well, they're going to say, well, if God wants to send a flood again, he's not going to affect us because we're going to waterproof the Tower of Babel. He won't get to us. That's how strong the rebellion was, and that rebellion led into deception, which opened the door for Satan to do that, and it continues into our U.S. government. It continues into Hollywood, into our entertainment, into the power that be. Our whole country is under this demonic influence. And we're just okay with it. So it just, when you look at the roots in the history of it, it's the same demonic spirit, as you said. Mm-hmm. We change the names of the gods from culture and generation. We change the names of the god, but it's that same rebellious demonic spirit. And the fruit of it is what we see, the headlines you just showed a moment ago. It continues on. And that's, again, I want to bring the history and the truth out to people to understand where is all this coming from.
Okay, I want to give you the opportunity to either talk about Nimrod or Noah next. But before that, I want to ask you about the church in America, and where we're at. We know there's a huge biblical decline in literacy and morality. Even in the church, there's confusion on almost every issue, abortion, same-sex marriage, on socialism, on borders, on just you name it. And it shouldn't be that way. So is that part of this problem, that the demonic influence got people so, because Satan is the author of confusion and God is a God of order and truth. But here we are with the church in America being divided on issues we shouldn't be divided over.
We've been divided for quite a while with this, and it's getting even worse with that. And we can expect it to continue on because people aren't reading the Word of God. George Barna does surveys. Every year he comes up with a new survey that's done with Arizona Christian University. And he talks about where people just are not reading the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and people are not into the Bible. As I teach at a Christian university as well. And I'm getting students who are 18, 19, 20 years old. And the majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them grew up in church. And they don't have some of the basic fundamentals of the faith. Now, either I'm not going to say the students themselves aren't learning, because I'm not sure it's being taught either. I love the church. I'm still a pastor. I want to see the church grow. I enjoy teaching both at the church level and the university level. But people have to be able to read the Word of God and then read it in proper context. That's where we get convenience. I just want to kind of use human reasoning. Well, I think the Bible means, and that becomes my truth. And that's not the truth that God is putting out there.
Okay, David, help us to understand now the connections between the Old Testament, what we read in Genesis, and what happened. You know, we hear the days of Noah talked about a lot, but I think we don't fully understand what was going on then, because it was a combination of the violence and corruption, and also apathy, people just carrying on doing the same thing, getting married and not worried about it. So talk to us about that.
Well, when you look at, again, in the New Testament, we're told that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So we get that in the New Testament. So we know that he had that 100, 120 years while he was preaching. And what it showed was that people just not have a very deep concern or any concern at all for their spiritual condition. They were living life, they were getting married, they were shopping, they were doing everything they wanted to do, much like we are today, but they were not concerned about their spiritual condition. And the things that Noah was trying to bring to the forefront and to warn them of, they ignored, and it cost the world their lives. it's interesting. We're going to see this happening again, David. This is why I tied the book of Revelation into the Old Testament. I wrote a book on Revelation explaining it through the Old Testament. When you look at one of the plagues that comes upon people in the coming future, in the tribulation period, you have locusts that will come and they will attack people for 5 months. And the Jewish mind is going to go back to what's happening for 5 months. We know it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but how long was the water covering the earth? It covered the earth for 5 months, so the same amount of time. So when you parallel what's going to come in the tribulation period back to the Old Testament, you see all the plagues, the explanation for the plagues, where God is warning you. So if we spend time in God's word, A, faith comes that way, but we understand it in proper context and know what's going on. And the church itself is not teaching that. We are trying to be entertainment. We are trying to be convenience. We don't want people not to come to church. So let's give the people what they want. And again, I'm speaking in a general sense. Mm-hmm. I'm not pointing out any particular church or pastor. But if we give the people what they want, they'll keep coming. And we're trying to please man, again, in a general sense, when we should be honoring and pleasing God.
Oh, there's way too much of trying to cater to the world, give them the world to attract them, to get them into your church. But what are you going to do once you get them into your church? You know, if you're not preaching the whole counsel of God, if you're not preaching sin and repentance, righteousness, and on all the issues, Bible prophecy and God's judgment. So over on, you're just talking about over on your website, interpretingthetimes.com, understanding world events through scripture. So that's what we're doing right now. We're just walking through, and this is just, these are just bullet points, friends. We don't. He has much more content on his YouTube channel and on his website that we can get into here. You can go watch some of Pastor David's videos. Right. But we're talking about that demonic spirit. So in Noah's day, they were very corrupt. What did he say? Weren't they corrupt and with almost like hopelessly corrupt? I'm paraphrasing scripture there, the description of those times.
They were. Yeah, you go back to Genesis 4, you have Cain, you know, killing Abel. You go back to Genesis 4, you have Lamech. He was bragging about how violent he was. He was bragging about how he would bring revenge upon people. You get to Genesis 37, you have Joseph, you have his brothers. They wanted to kill him and end up selling him away. It continues on in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 18. You got Saul wanting to kill David. So you had the violence and corruption throughout. But where the church, I think, too, is missing is we're not building up disciples. We're not talking about discipleship. We might talk about evangelism, but when you get them into the church, as you just asked, what do we do then? To me, I sum it up in one quick verse. You know, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, Jesus said, as he was calling the disciples. This is what the church and Christians need to be doing. Come follow me. We need to follow Jesus, and I will make you. We need to be changed constantly. We need to be changing our attitudes, our behaviors, and I will make you fishers of men. We got to be committed to the mission. So are we following? Are we being changed? And are we committed to the mission of Christ? If we do those three things, then we become disciples. When we become disciples, we want to get into God's word. And we understand, you know, Nimrod and Marduk and Osiris and all these, you know, names that we have for gods and goddesses and the spirit that came with it. And what do? We build, you know, buildings, the U.S. Capitol, when we put a goddess on top of the U.S. Capitol. You know, we have a Statue of Liberty. We have a goddess there. What's on top of her head? We have the crown with solar rays, again, worshiping other gods. So you have that same demonic spirit that we're just kind of clueless to, understanding what God said. What angered God in the Old Testament when people committed idolatry? What is idolatry? The church does not talk about that. If I bring up idolatry and sin, they're saying right now, George Barna's survey, it was Pew Research. And Pew is a secular think tank, so it's not a Christian group.
Yeah,
they went out and looked at 4,000 sermons, I believe it was, and they found that only 3% even mentioned the word sin. So if we're not talking about sin, we're not repenting, we're not becoming disciples, and you wonder where the church is today.
4,000 sermons.
Yes.
Did I hear that right? Only 3% mentioned sin? What is man's greatest problem?
Yeah, that's Pew Research. Again, this is not some, you know, right-wing Christian group saying this. This is a left-wing think tank coming out, and they wanted to know what the church is preaching, and it's not on sin. Wow. And you mentioned Bible prophecy. Only 2% of pastors preach on Bible prophecy.
Well, we are unfortunately a lot more seeker sensitive than I even realized, just to hear some of that. We've got to take a brief pause. When we come back with Pastor David Bowen, we're going to talk about Nimrod. Nimrod, he was the great grandson of Noah. We're going to go to Genesis 10 and draw parallels to what's going on today in America. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Cobb, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. So by the way, friends, and I want to emphasize limited seating for the conference. It's at a hotel. We did that so that we can get maybe more churches to support it since it's at a neutral place. But Laura Perry Smaltz, I haven't mentioned, she's a former transgender. She had the surgeries, the operation. She lived as Jake for 9 years, legally changed her name. She's going to be with us again in less than a month. But I love her testimony and her story and what's happening. She can shed some light on what's happening in our country and in the world. The medical system, the education system, the programming and propaganda that began, I mean, decades ago, but really kicked into high gear somewhere around 2015, 2016, as far as the trans movement and the acceptance of that and the delusion. She's going to speak to that. That's just one of the speakers that we're blessed to have come to Green Bay, Wisconsin. But Pastor David, back to Nimrod in Genesis 10. You specifically Yes. called out him. You wanted to mention him because, again, friends, we're talking about something very serious, and that is the demonic spirit in America, and it's the same spirit as what we've seen in the Old Testament. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, Nimrod had a wife, most people don't understand that, named Semiramis. Semiramis actually is called the Queen of Heaven in scriptures when you see that mentioned there. They supposedly had a son named Tumutz, and Tumutz is mentioned both in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. And what happened was, again, this is after the flood, so what happened with the mythical understanding of this was that their son Tumutz was attacked by a wild animal and he was killed, and he miraculously came back to life. So it's a counterfeit resurrection. And that's where you have a mother and child type of worship. And that mother and child type of worship had carried over from generation to generation, from religion to religion, whether it be in Hindu or other countries. And unfortunately, the Catholic Church worshiping Mary, that's where that whole belief goes back to that. The Catholic Church with Mary and the baby Jesus and worshiping Mary on that level goes back to Semiramis, Nimrod's wife. So, but you see these names throughout the Bible. Nimrod turns into Marduk when you get to Babylon. In Egypt, he's known as Osiris. When you get to Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt, he becomes Baal. We know about Baal in the Bible. But you have to understand the roots of that. So that same demonic spirit and the same understanding of it just filters through. You look at Washington, D.C., and you wonder, why do they make some of the decisions they make? You look at Hollywood and go, why do they make some of the product? Who paid to make this movie with the demonic aspect to it? Why are people going to watch it? But you understand Columbia Pictures or Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. What is Columbia? It's a goddess. And it goes back to Semiramis, all back to Nimrod's wife. We put these statues, we put these idols on top of our capital. We have in Deuteronomy, what is it? In Deuteronomy, basically, God warns them about worshiping this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5, this is what you are to do. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their idols in the fire. What is an Asherah pole? Well, we have these pillars in our New York Stock Exchange. We have them in our Supreme Court. We have them across the country in leadership, and you have that same spirit. Why is the Supreme Court making decisions that's making? Again, why is Hollywood doing? Why is our leadership saying this law is okay, going completely against the Bible? It's that spirit, but you have to trace it back to the very beginning. And again, we're short on time here, but if they want to go watch the videos, I break this down in great detail, explain the history of these gods and goddesses. But the key is not the names and not the nations, but the spirit, that same demonic spirit that we are welcoming in and saying, let's go for it.
So let's park for a moment, a couple minutes, David, on the Queen of Heaven. There is no mm-hmm. Queen of Heaven. There never has been a Queen of Heaven. Jesus is the right. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Heaven, the Lord of Hosts. But right. She's mentioned several times. Is the Queen of Heaven mentioned in Revelation as well, or is it Ezekiel and Jeremiah?
It's Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Jeremiah 7, verse 18. The children gather the wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes of bread for the Queen of Heaven. So when I preach on this in conferences, I really get to the dads. I say, fathers, you've got to lead your families. You've got to be the spiritual leader. Because what happens when you don't? The kids are getting the wood, the dads are lighting the fire, and the women are making the bread. The whole family now is in idolatry, as they worship the Queen of Heaven. Jeremiah chapter 44, we will burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and we'll pour out drink offerings to her, just as we and our fathers, our kings and officials did in the towns of Judah. So again, Jeremiah and Ezekiel talks about it. Ezekiel chapter 8, they brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord, and I saw women sitting there mourning for Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? He's the child that supposedly was killed by the wild boar and had a counterfeit resurrection. It wasn't true. It was all, mm-hmm. It's all myth. But we have them worshiping that. So again, God's prophets speak out truth and call them out and say, stop doing this. And what they were doing back then, they're still doing today.
Same demonic spirit.
Correct.
Or spirits, minions. Let's talk about this a little bit more. The Queen of Heaven.
Sure.
I've looked at God questions, and they have it written out. She was thought to be the wife of the false god Baal, also known as Molech. Many Christians might not remember Molech was who they offered their babies to. This is how bizarre and twisted this is, David. The Queen of Heaven, some of the women were honoring her because she had a reputation as a fertility goddess, right? A fertility goddess. But they were offering their babies, their children, to Molech. Can you help us understand that? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a Canaanite god. It's a Canaanite god that they were worshiping that. But again, that goes back to Marduk, and it goes back to Nimrod. It's the same. It just changed the names to that. When you talk about Ishtar, people know about Ishtar. She becomes the goddess of fertility, the goddess of desire, the goddess of freedom and liberty, which we bring into America, the goddess of war, the moon goddess, Venus. All those things go back to Ishtar. Ishtar goes back to Minerva. Minerva ends up going back to Semiramis. So it all goes back to the very beginning with that. This is the goddess that Jezebel worshipped in the Bible. We see that going there. And in fact, when you get to the point, when you get to Greece and you get Athena, Athena carries a spear. And the spear goes back to Isis, who was the goddess of Egypt. Now, this spear becomes important because on this spear or this pillar, on the bottom is a snake that goes around it. And that snake is a memorial to Nimrod and Tammuz. And David, we still have that today. In our first day, you might see the Red Cross with a pole and the snake going around it. That goes back. What that snake is a memorial to Nimrod and Tammuz. You know, so it goes back to Isis, the goddess of Egypt. And we just don't understand the history. And so we are putting that everywhere we are. I was in a public building the other day, and there's an elevator. And I don't know why it was there, but on the elevator door, there was a metal plate, and it had that symbol. You know, I go, we don't understand the history of things and what it means.
Isn't that a medical symbol?
It is.
With the snake, Kurt?
Yes.
Like, I'm thinking, I've seen it, I think, in doctors or on medical websites or something.
Yeah. What's that snake for? It's a memorial to Nimrod and Tammuz.
Wow.
Going back to false worship and the pouring out of the drink offerings and child sacrifice and everything else.
It's a counterfeit, isn't it? You think of the scripture about Moses lifting up, you know, the snake, right, in the wilderness, and they would all, you know, the snake would heal them. They would look to the snake, right? And that's very interesting that they used that to counterfeit that.
But that was a sign of faith. Those who looked up were saved, and those who did not were not. So are we going to look up to Jesus, or are we going to look down at the world? Those who look up will be saved, and those who don't will not.
Okay, David, last couple minutes here. You'd also mentioned the United States Capitol. I know you alluded to government in Washington, D.C., and the D.C., District of Columbia, but also the Supreme Court. Just share whatever you'd like on that.
Well, you have the pagan gods on top of them, and you have the pillars of Asherah right there. If you look at these pillars, people say, well, they're columns. They're not columns, they're pillars. When you look again at the false gods, they would have the pillars and they had the obelisk, you know, the tall building. The largest obelisk in the world is the Washington Monument. How tall is it? Well, it's 555 and a half feet tall, or 6666 inches tall. Oh, and what is the base of the Washington Monument? It's 55 and a half feet in width, which is 666 inches wide.
Wow. I've never heard that before about the Washington Monument. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Creepy. Not a coincidence, probably, most likely. So what do you want people to take away, David? I know you do this so much. You get into it extensively on your podcasts, on your YouTube videos. But as far as people understand the body of Christ, who are discerning, hopefully, understanding the violence and the evil in today's world and seeing what's going on in America, the parallels, what do you want people to take away?
Yeah, I just want people to really understand Jesus. You know, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Understand that. I go back to the Last Supper when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. And when he got to Peter, Peter said, no, I'm not worthy. I will wash your feet. And Jesus says, if I don't do this, you can't have any part of me. And then Peter says, well, wash all of me. You know, Pete with his mouth and how he speaks for us. Wash all of me. And Jesus says, no, I don't need to wash all of you, just your feet. What did that mean? I have people who come to the church and they say, well, I've been saved before. I've been saved, you know, 10 times. Every time I go down, I go, no, you get saved once if you're really saved. Mm-hmm. What Jesus was saying when Peter said, wash all of me, and Jesus said, no, just your feet. Because on that day they wore sandals and the feet needed to be washed, which means we sin. We need to repent constantly. You get saved once, but you sin constantly. And we're not talking about sin. We're not talking about repentance. We're not talking about having a deep relationship with Christ. All this demonic spirit, I'm not going to focus on the demonic spirit. I want you to understand the truth and the history to it. But the main purpose of what we need to do is to worship Jesus Christ and to fall in love with him and just be his disciple. Be changed by him, be committed to the mission, and understand you only get saved once, but you get dirty all the time with our sin, but our sins are covered if we follow Christ.
Mm. See, I think you just mentioned sin there that a lot of churches do in 6 months, according to what
Absolutely.
We talked about earlier in the podcast.
Absolutely.
So, brother, just thank you so much for all you do. I know you're heading off to Israel to work with the Israel Defense Forces, the IDF, and you keep in touch with them. Hopefully we'll get a report from you next time we have you on. But it's a very volatile situation over there now, and we'll see what happens. And by the time this even airs, this podcast airs, maybe, you know, something major is going to go down or went down. But I think people understand here, we're not here to break news. We're here to point you to Jesus. Understand, we're looking at the world through the lens of Scripture, and hopefully Christians can redeem the time. But God bless you, brother. Thanks for all you do, David.
Thank you, sir.
All right, good to have you. All right, friends, as always, share the podcast. It's getting out there, and we thank you so much, and we praise Jesus for that. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter. See you next time.